Wait. Before we start, just want to make sure we're clear here. While this podcast talks about sobriety, mental health, and addiction, it is not meant to replace professional medical advice. Welcome to Sisters in Sobriety.
I'm Kathleen.
And I'm Sonia.
And we're ex-sisters-in-law, brought together in marriage and bonded through our sobriety journey.
Join us as we talk sobriety, addiction, and everything in between. You're in for quite a ride. And our Substack is buzzing with amazing content, from creative mocktail recipes to insightful courses and reflective exercises. There is something for everyone. Don't miss out. It's a great way to add some extra joy and depth to your journey. Check it out. Hey, all, and welcome to Sisters in Sobriety. I am so excited about today's episode. I am a huge Bravo TV fan, and I'm so passionate about sobriety. And I thought, why not combine my two loves into Bravo Hot Topics in sobriety? So in this series of episodes, we're going to dive deep into the lives of your favorite Bravo celebrities. And also, we're going to explore their journeys towards sobriety. So from DUIs to Cali sober to water tasting, nothing is off limits. I'll also share my hot takes and hopefully get a chance to chat more with all of you Bravo fans. So like, subscribe, comment, and feel free to reach out on social media or by email. So today we are talking about Carl Radke from Summer House and his Cali sober lifestyle, which, let's be honest, some of us did not realize this until this season aired, and we did not know he wasn't sober. So when Lindsay outed him for smoking weed and then again at the reunion for taking shrooms, I remember just being a little bit surprised, but regardless, let's just dive in. So for people who don't know, Carl is one of the OGs of Summer House, and he joined in the first season, and I think people took to him really quickly thanks to his extreme height, good looks, and penchant for wearing a ton of white. And even though he may dress like a sailor on occasion, his journey has not been smooth sailing. So in terms of his sobriety, his path to sobriety has been a pretty big storyline, especially the last few years. And he quit drinking in January 2021 and has maintained his sobriety since. And so since that, I feel like he has talked about the person he was when he was drinking and excessively using. And it's been pretty clear that it was taking a big toll on his mental health. And he did say that watching himself on TV helped him realize the negative impact that alcohol was having on his life. And so we all know that he's had so many personal challenges on the show. So from his sobriety to relationship drama, his most recent breakup with Lindsay, calling off their engagement, and then she became pregnant less than a year after the breakup. Carl, I hope you're doing okay. And I can't even imagine how difficult it is to maintain your sobriety when you have that additional stress of being a public figure. And so his ability to maintain sobriety from whatever it is, alcohol and hard drugs, is kind of awesome. But I think the hardest moment in this whole journey, his whole Summer House journey to watch, was when his brother Curtis passed away from a drug overdose. And that was August 2020. And so they were actually filming Summer House at the time when he got the call from his mom. And that was excruciating to watch and really makes me really emotional. But it did turn out for him to be a really pivotal moment in his sobriety and a huge wake-up call, and it really made him realize what he was doing to himself. So, you know, I know what it's like to have a sibling who is struggling with addiction, and I think we'll get into this a little bit later, but you know, when I used to look at my brother, I would be like, well, that's an alcoholic. I'm not that. right? And so you would think that having alcoholics in your family would like tip you off to having a problem, like, oh, maybe my drinking isn't normal. But sometimes it actually like works in the opposite, where you're like, oh, well, I'm doing great compared to that. My life is really going well compared to that. I'm not on the streets. I'm not constantly looking for drugs. But addiction is addiction. And one thing I realized when I got sober is there was really no difference between my brother and I. And although his addiction seemed more severe just because he was having more outward consequences, I was just as addicted to alcohol as he was. And so actually, so what Carl says is that in season one, he was drinking, partying, and talking about his brother's heroin addiction on camera, in that it caused a huge strain on their relationship. And he had a lot of anger towards his brother because he couldn't come to grips with his own issues. And I think I felt that too, when my brother was in the throes of addiction, just being really resentful of him, but knowing, I really deep down knowing that I drank too much. But I have this quote from Carl, which is when he was in a confessional saying he talked about it and it wasn't his place to talk about his brother's addiction. And his brother was like super excited to watch him on TV, and he watches the show, and Carl says, it's me railing into him about his addiction. And it was really damaging and really hurt our relationship. I harbored a lot of anger towards him because I couldn't come to grips that I also had issues and was blaming him. And then he goes on to talk about he was really glorifying this party boy lifestyle. And he said it really messed up their relationship. They didn't speak again. And he hadn't spoke to him since then when he passed away. So we never got the chance to repair that relationship, which is sort of where I am too, where I haven't gotten to repair the relationship with my brother. And so I think it's just like a really good reminder to all of us that when we're judging other people's addiction, we need to look at ourselves. And I know it's easy to look at people and say like, oh, like your addiction, you have a problem, you need to get help. But I think you really have to think about it before you say something like that to somebody. You have to think about where they are in their life and if they're really going to hear it or if it is just going to cause more damage. And so I get it. And also, you know, in terms of like environmental triggers, Carl talks about living in New York and like indulging in this party lifestyle. And I lived in New York also for a number of years. And I agree in the sense that it is really easy to go out every night and drink. But for those of you living in big cities, it's also really easy to go out and do different things. And so you have that choice between a bunch of different things that are constantly going on, and not all of them involve drinking. And so what I appreciate though about Carl is he was probably in his 20s at the beginning of Summer House, and going out to bars and clubs and lounges, that probably is how most people around him spent their time. So I feel like the New York or any city thing is definitely a trigger. And he was, again, he was functioning. And so he was, I have another quote from him, which is, living in New York City, it was easy to do. It sounds weird, but I was able to function, at least in my opinion. I was blaming girls in relationships. I was blaming other things except for myself. And after a while, people were not wanting to hang out with me because I was a lot to be around. And so I kind of love this reflection from Carl because it's so honest, right? How many of us can look back to when we were drinking or using and that we were blaming everybody else, right? When things wouldn't go our way. I mean, for me, especially because I was like a pretty big blackout drinker, I didn't remember things. So it was really easy to blame people. What do you mean? We didn't have a fight. You're exaggerating. It wasn't that bad. And so I get what he's saying about, you know, relationships suffering as a result. And I don't know, I really appreciate him embracing it and being honest. So yeah, back to the whole like living in New York City thing really brings up for me though that it's really important to find supportive friends who understand and support and respect your sobriety, because it's really easy to be in heavy drinking environments. And it's really easy to be like, I'm just going to have a shot and no one's going to notice. So there is something to not putting yourself in that situation. And what I love about Carl is that he is working on a sober sports bar, which we can talk about, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but it's that people, it seems like he's really committed to his sobriety. And two, that he still wants to be able to do certain things that typically involve drinking, and he just wants to like switch the environment up a little bit. And so I really do appreciate that. And yeah, in terms of sober lifestyle, I think we all saw, especially this year with him getting up really early to go to Barry's and looking super fit, and he was doing a little bit of the grilling and less of the partying. And so I really appreciate the changes he made.
Did you know your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? That's right. It's not just about your birth date. Your body could be older or younger than you think. That's where True Diagnostic comes in. With their True Age test, you can discover your true biological age, plus get insights into things like your risk for heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part? It's all done from the comfort of your own home. No prescriptions, no lab visits, just a simple test sent right to your door. By tracking your biological age, you can actually see how the changes you make, whether it's to your exercise, diet, or sleep, affect your health over time. It's about taking actionable steps to improve your well-being. Oh, and if you're wondering about high-profile people taking it seriously, Brian Johnson, the guy who's working on reversing aging, and I watched his documentary on Netflix, uses True Diagnostic to track his progress. Ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at truediagnostic.com by using the code CIS2025 at checkout. That's True Diagnostic, TRUDIAGNOSTIC.com. Just use the code SIS2025 to save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 50% discount. Discover your true age today.
But what I didn't know until a few episodes in was that he was Cali sober. And so for those of you who don't know the term Cali sober, it's a lifestyle where you abstain from typically alcohol and hard drugs, but you use marijuana and sometimes psychedelics. And so I have thought about being Cali sober, but for me, the way my mind works and what I use alcohol and drugs for, smoking weed would fill that void. And so then I would just smoke weed all the time to lessen my anxiety. And so I feel like for me, being Cali sober isn't an option, but I don't disagree that it's an option for some people. And so I actually don't have any judgment about Carl being Cali sober. And I love this quote, which is, and I must have missed this in season 7, where he says, I'm not smoking weed like I used to. Weed didn't turn me into a flaming asshole like alcohol did in the past. And so, I don't know, it sounds like this is a pretty conscious decision, right? That he knows that, yeah, maybe some people won't consider him sober. People in AA probably won't consider him sober, but it's working for him, and that alcohol was his major problem. And so on top, though, of the weed is we get to the reunion this past season, and Lindsay reveals that Carl had taken shrooms at a music festival they went to together. And I think that raised some eyebrows, too, even though I think that's still in the realm of being Cali sober. I think we're, I don't know if anyone else felt this way, but I was like, oh,
Okay. Because that's not a microdose. It's not like, oh, I'm going to take shrooms and go on this like therapeutic journey with a mental health provider. This was, I'm going to take shrooms and go trip out at a music festival. So again, no judgment, but I was just surprised because he really does have this like super like healthy lifestyle vibe. And I can totally see him enjoying a music festival without psychedelics. So yeah, it was interesting because it's like you have to reconcile, right? And I'm sure he has wrestled with the decision to be Cali sober. I'm sure he's gotten a bit of a backlash from sober people about being Cali sober, but really everyone's journey is their journey. And so only he knows if this is sustainable long term. And you have to be vigilant and honest with yourself. And just because I'm not Cali sober, I'm certainly not emotionally sober all the time. I certainly in the last 7 years have used other things to cope that aren't necessarily healthy mechanisms. And so I think that's why we should be careful about judging people, because none of us is perfect in our coping mechanisms and our reactions to like stressful periods in our lives. And so another interesting thing is actually what it brings up with Lindsay saying like we took shrooms at this festival is, what is the role of sobriety in a relationship, especially if the other person isn't sober? And y'all know I am single and I wince when I have to tell somebody I'm out on a date with that I don't drink, but it's always like a moment for me where I hesitate and think, what is this going to sound like? And so I've been fascinated, right? Watching Carl and Lindsay's relationship as Lindsay went from not drinking for almost a year until that last season of Summer House. And then she was really drinking. And it seems like she's had been or was super supportive of his sobriety. And then you see that first night that they get into the fight in the lift, which we don't see, but it seems like Carl is insinuating, right, that it's because of her drinking, because she says, are you drunk? And he says, I'm not drunk right now. Like, as in, you're the one who's drunk. And so because she does question him and ask him if he's drunk. And I think he says something back that is like, well, I mean, you're drunk, but no, I'm not drunk. And then that like spiraled into this like calling him Cocaine Carl, which he says was, you know, and I agree, was like really super hurtful. And so, and I know what it is to be called out when you're sober, like whether or not you're drinking or doing drugs. And I remember like when I was, when my ex left, what an asshole. He was like, what are you going to do? You're going to start drinking? As in like, are you going to be so messed up that you're going to start drinking? And the answer was like, yeah, I'm going to think about it because this is really hard. And so yeah, people who aren't sober have to be sensitive about is when you call somebody out for that, who's been working really hard at their sobriety and it's like a really important part of their identity, it can be really damaging. And so Carl has this quote saying, it was incredibly painful to have my sobriety questioned by someone close to me. I had been sober and her doubts were unfounded. These accusations felt like a betrayal, especially given my commitment to staying sober and the struggles I faced. And so I totally agree. I totally understand that hurt, especially when you are committed to your sobriety. It's such an important part of your life. And to have it thrown back at you in anger, I think, is something that's really tough. Like Cocaine Carl, like something sarcastic. And instead of, you know, what would be appropriate, which is someone like sitting you down and being like, hey, how's everything going with your sobriety? Is there anything you want to talk about? Because I don't think any other tactic really works, and it definitely like backfires. And so that actually brings us to my next kind of topic, which is like the environment of Summer House and how healthy that is for someone who's trying to stay sober. It's a heavy drinking environment. I mean, literally, Kyle has an alcohol brand that Carl used to work for, but they're always drinking Loverboy. And so I would find it really hard to stay sober in that environment too. So that must be a real challenge. And I wonder how much he struggles with that temptation when he's filming, and whether or not he's white knuckling it, or whether his coping mechanisms, like the Barry's boot camp stuff, is just so strong that he doesn't struggle with it. So I'd be really curious actually to know, and how he feels at those parties. Or it seems like sometimes he does go to bed like early when before people get super drunk, but sometimes it seems like he actually stays out with them. Like that time Lindsay came back from the club and they had had that argument, Carl stayed out. So how hard was that, right? Like, you've had an argument with your girlfriend, she goes home, you stay out, and everyone else is drinking. Are you tempted to drink? I know I would be. So I'm kind of curious about that. And the other thing we talked about just briefly before is I love that he's starting these new ventures that align with his sober lifestyle. And I love the idea of a non-alcoholic bar and cafe in New York. And yes, brick and mortar is tough in New York City, but it's giving him pride when he just seems to have a real passion for creating a space where people can enjoy the atmosphere of a bar without the pressure of alcohol. And again, he's doing it with Loverboy, launching a line of non-alcoholic sparkling teas. And he's really proud of it. He says, I'm beyond proud to stand behind the new product, especially since people have credited me with inspiring them to make changes in their own lives. And I'm excited because we've got a great product to hold in our hands. It gives me a lot of purpose. So that's a great place to wrap up, because that's incredible, Carl. I feel you. You're doing great things. I hope the cafe works. Once it opens and I'm in New York, I will come there. And maybe we can do some Bravo watch parties there. And so I think that sobriety is complicated. Carl's journey is complicated. And I think his Cali sober lifestyle brings up a lot of important conversations about how people navigate their path to sobriety. And so people may have reservations about how sustainable being Cali sober is, but look, Carl's open and seems committed to bettering himself, and that is admirable. And I'm really excited about his future. So thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Bravo Hot Topics in Sobriety. I hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Carl's sober journey. Stay tuned for more episodes. See you next time. This was Sisters in Sobriety.
Thank you for listening and being with us today.
If you want to learn more about sobriety and meet your community, find us at sistersinsobriety.substack.com.
Are you a sister in sobriety? Then reach out on social media. We'd love to hear from you.
If you're feeling generous, leave us 5 stars and a review and follow us wherever you listen.
You'll never miss an episode. Until next time.